On today's Talking Puck podcast, well, we know a couple things. We know the Colorado Avalanche are through and on to the Stanley Cup final. We also know that the Rangers and the Lightning are even at two games apiece. Tampa coming back, winning both games at home, and boy, do the Lightning look good right now. But the Rangers have been almost unbeatable at home. So what's going to give for Game 5? Plus, some rumblings coming out of Boston. What's going on with David Pastrnak? Stay tuned. We'll cover that and more coming up in the Talking Puck podcast. All right, everyone, another edition of the Talking Puck podcast on the tracks and rolling. Mike Haynes, Tom Callahan here with you. We have plenty to talk about. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter. Mike is at BusterTheDog33. I'm at Callahan on air. And Mike, we have a lot to cram into a little bit of time today, so let's just dive right into it. Let's start with the Tampa Bay Lightning, New York Rangers. It's a series now. And we said that a 2-1, but more so a 2-2.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I believe that if they didn't win and we're down 3-1, I know you believe in them and they are the two-time defending champs, but it's, you know what, math is tough. Even if you are that good, it's hard. It's hard in a conference final. Yeah, I mean, it's different when you're in the first round and you're a much better team. It's harder as the rounds go on to come back. So they tied it up. They look like they're rolling now. And I just wonder, I read it wrong. I'll admit this. I thought that after winning four in a row in the second round against the best team in the NHL, at least record-wise, Florida Panthers, and then got to watch Carolina and New York beat each other up for seven games, I thought the advantage was clearly to Tampa Bay. But, you know, in the history of the NHL, I don't know what it is about. When you win that game seven, you got so much momentum, you're into a routine, you're just ready to go into the next round if you're healthy. And sitting around sometimes for hockey players is not good, I guess. I thought it was going to be good for Tampa because they're veterans and they played so many games. But they needed those first two games to get rolling. You know, they won game three with a minute left to go. They lose that one. Obviously, the series is over. But they win that, and then they look powerful. They look like they're starting to roll. Tom, they look determined now. And the ball is definitely shifted back over to Tampa Bay. But now they got to go to Madison Square Garden for a game.
Yeah, not an easy place to win. But, Mike, as I said to you earlier, they believe now. They look like a team that believes. And they do. They have the ball rolling. Vasilevsky looks very good. And that's a scary thing for the Rangers. Shesterkin's been good. He just hasn't been better than Vasilevsky. And the Lightning look good. Kucherov is a guy that I circled to be important. He's got goals in three straight now. I like what they're getting out of him. And did you see, Mike, this little tidbit coming out that John Cooper said they have not ruled out a Braden Point return in the future before the end of the playoffs. So I'm not saying Point coming back is going to put them over the top. He'll probably take a game or two to really get back up to speed. But man, as if they need another weapon, they look pretty darn good right now. And so now Tampa Bay is rolling going into this game five is pivotal. It's so important because if the Lightning come out and they're running the show and the Rangers don't establish some kind of early dominance and or lead, this could be a six gamer.
Well, it seems like the Rangers, or does it seem to you, because it does to me, they're so reliant on their power play, aren't they? When that power play, when they're not able to score on the power play, they're not winning. And you want to play even strength against Tampa Bay? The Rangers can't beat them even strength, I don't think. They need those power play goals, and they didn't get them in that last game.
Yeah, I mean, talking about game three, it was power play goal for power play goal. Four in a row, two for each side. And Tampa Bay just breaks through in that last minute. So, you know, we talk about the special teams, how important it is. The Rangers do need to find some 5-on-5. But again, against a Vasilevsky who looks pretty good.
Right. Well, remember Vasilevsky, and I don't know how I don't understand how I got this wrong because it's so rare. That I, he, I, what in the... in the whole series against Florida. Again, Florida was the highest scoring team in the NHL, right? Didn't he gave up just 3 goals in that series.
Yeah.
So you think, okay, he's just rocking and rolling now. And then you go into the first 2 games against the Rangers, and maybe goal, you know, I talked to somebody who's a goalie about this, and goalies are funny that way. And you can answer this, Tom. It's not necessarily wearing down all the time is the story for goaltenders. It's a routine. It's getting into just when you're playing, it's just different. When you're sitting and practicing, it's not the same as games. I know that seems like an obvious statement, but there's really something to this. And I think more so for goaltenders than for players. Would you agree with that? Do you think that was a case with Vasilevsky, that was almost too much time off after he was phenomenal against Florida?
Yeah, I absolutely could see that. And I'll just ignore that you called me funny, but I won't ignore that you admitted you were wrong. I had to point all these things out in my little notebook of the podcast. You know what it is? Because the drills you do in practice, you don't do a game simulation in practice. Hardly even power play simulation is still, guys aren't diving in front of pucks. And so, yeah, there's shot blocks, but there's also deflections and tips, and it's different. You're just not going at that pace. And so, yes, I think, and the energy is different, right, Mike? I mean,
it is.
The energy is so different, especially in the playoffs. You walk in, you just got that buzz from the moment you hit the ice, and that's a different setup altogether. So, yes, I think that right now, Vasilevsky has that back, that buzz back that he needs. They look great. And you know what? I'm looking forward to game 5. I think it's going to be so important to see which direction this one goes. And Tampa Bay now, I think, they have control of the series heading to New York. If they can keep it, that's the biggest question I have.
Right. And that crowd will be rocking. They will. It's a conference final. They're looking at a team. They're even. This is, while Tampa Bay has won 2 games in a row, if you're the Rangers, you're going, okay, now it's best of 3, and 2 of the games are on our home ice, where they played great on home ice against Carolina, right? They played great again. Their game 7 against the Penguins was at home, right? In the first round. So they proved they can win. How many games in a row is that then they've won at home? So if you look at game 7, then they won.
Well, everything in the 3. Carolina series was at home.
Right. So that was 3, but they won game 7 against Pittsburgh. They won. So that's 3-5. That's 6 games, at least 6 games in a row at home they've won, Tom. So they know that that's a place where they can win. So, Tampa Bay, while they may have now wrestled back the control of the series, have got to go into New York in a place where, at least by my count, at least 6 games in a row they've won at home.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I can't underscore. That's been that maybe is turning into our most intriguing series that we've seen so far. And there have been some good ones. We've had some good ones this playoff. Yeah. On the other side, we didn't have much drama. And Mike, you called it. And for a while, Edmonton looked like they were going to try to extend things, and they jumped out, scored a bunch of goals, and I thought, okay, the Oilers aren't done yet, but then Colorado just was Colorado, patient, whittled their way back in, end up winning the game, and, I mean, it just, the series, the outcome we expected, but, man, that just, Edmonton to blow that lead in game 4 the way they did, I think changes the paradigm of their entire offseason. They have to retool everything now.
Right. It would have been one thing, and I wasn't necessarily expecting them to win that series, but I thought they could win a couple of games in that series. And they lost the first 3, and they haven't shown tremendous amount of character to be able to come back. And they blew it, and Mike Smith wasn't great, and the defense was okay. I mean, it was – I thought – I was hoping to see, for the league's sake and for his sake, I was hoping to see McDavid just explode and take a team on his back and just be that guy. When we go back through the list of best players in the game, they take their teams to the Stanley Cup and they win cups. That's how it's been. And he didn't do it. And that's disappointing for him, disappointing for Edmonton. I think disappointing for the league, too. You want your best player to be in that showcase of the Stanley Cup Finals. And not going to have it again for McDavid. Yeah, they've got they made some strides. In fact, you know, from Christmas on, you know, they made a push, got to, you know, number two in the division, knocked off Dallas, then Calgary. They handled in five games, which was shocking to me. But they looked like they were done in the third round, and they just laid down there, and that was the game. When you're a winner, you have a lead, 3-1 going in the third, and then you just stomp on the neck and you finish it off. And then you go on, you go, okay, we got one now. Let's go get another one and come back home and then see something. But they don't have it in them. And that foretells that there's going to have to be some huge changes for this team. And it all starts in goal.
Yeah, and right now we're hearing speculation. Mike Smith might be done. He might be retiring. Yeah. He has another year on his deal, which... it's hard for me to fathom, but so they have that in the Koskinen contract to try to figure out. They really don't have any cap room. They have to figure out this Evander Kane situation, which, right, once again, finishing the series in the press box while his team loses. I'm not saying he would have made the difference in that game, but maybe in a game that tight. Kane on the ice, you know, Kadri is out.
He's a goal scorer.
Yeah, and it just... that's a tough one, but again, so goaltending-wise, yes, it'd be better for them if Smith retires. They still have to figure out Koskinen. Stuart Skinner is the affordable upcoming young option, but you don't expect a guy who's about to play his first NHL season to lead you to the promised land. No. I don't know how they would squeeze Kane in with any sort of decent contract if they felt the need to keep him. But Mike, none of this addresses, and it's all smoke and mirrors. We're looking away from the defense. The defense was not good enough. They could not contain Colorado. They couldn't keep up with them. Look, Edmonton, I'll say it again. You could make, and they did. They proved they could win a couple playoff series, but you cannot win the Stanley Cup playing run-and-gun hockey. This isn't the 1980s anymore.
Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck Podcast in just a moment.
You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now, back to the show.
No. And even when you got a Draisaitl and McDavid and Kane, too, was a high-powered guy in the playoffs, it's not enough. You know, you're going to lose games 6-5. They lost, what, the first game 8-6?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's you're not going to win a cup that way. You're just not. Because you can't count on scoring that many goals every time. You've got to prevent the other team from scoring. It's what makes Tampa Bay so great. They have both, don't they? They have that's how they've won the cup. They have a capability. They've got some offense for sure, but they've got great defensemen, and they have the best goalie in the game. So that's how you win. With Edmonton, again, I hate to keep saying this, but you've got this small window where McDavid's in the prime of his career. You can't waste this. You've got to make sure in the next 2 years that you've given him a chance to carry this team. And, you know, he can only do so much But he can't play defense for you as well. You know, he's your offense. He's your juggernaut, and you've got to get him some help. You know, you think back in those days of when the Edmonton Oilers were winning and the New York Islanders were winning, they had great defensemen on those teams. They really did. And Edmonton does not. Duncan Keith, whatever he provided in the locker room, he can't play at how he used to play. Tyson Barrie is not. You used to be able to overlook his defensive liabilities because he was so good offensively, but he's not providing that much anymore. So, you know, you go down through the list. You know, you hope that Nurse was going to be your key guy, one of your cornerstones. But boy, it's not a good. I don't know what you do, because you said they're up against it on the cap. They're so top heavy on their forwards. I don't know what you do, Tom. But if you're the GM, what do you do?
And Darnell Nurse is not a matchup guy who scares me along the level of Cale Makar.
No, of course not.
You know, and that's the Oilers don't have that. They don't have the guy they look and say, well, and they do put Nurse out in those situations, or they put, you know, whoever next man up sometimes with Edmonton's defense. But who do you have that is your shutdown pair against the other team's best players that you feel consistent about? And Edmonton doesn't have that right now. And you know what? To your point about McDavid, a guy in his prime, and Draisaitl, not to be ignored, because Draisaitl scores just as many points. But these guys want to win. They are in their prime. And how long before they become disgruntled superstars and want out? Because let's look at Boston. David Pastrnak is now in a situation where he doesn't like the GM. Now, they did fire the coach, which, by the way, I think took way too long to get rid of Cassidy. I think it was unfair to both sides. The Bruins should have made up their mind sooner, and with respect to Cassidy, he could have been out interviewing for other jobs by now if the Bruins knew what they were going to do. So I hate that they dragged their feet on both ends of this. That said, okay, they said we want a change right after the season ended, and now, you know, a month later they make a change, and now Pastrnak says, I don't want to come back if we've got the same general manager. And so what he's saying is the GM is code for, I don't like the way this team is going, the direction, how it's being built, none of that. Mike, that is a giant problem of a disgruntled superstar.
Right. He's got one more year left on his deal. And then after that, he's unrestricted. Who knows what could happen, but it doesn't look like they're going to drastically change that much next year to be a Stanley Cup contender. So you're going to have your best player, your top scorer, your guy walking for nothing. So then what happens is you spend, let's say you don't make a change general manager wise, you get a coach and you have a typical Bruins season. You're in the playoff hunt. You finish third in the division, and you make the playoffs, but you lose in the first round. All season long, Tom, all you're going to hear about is, are they trading Pastrnak? Where's Pastrnak going? But it'll be a constant topic of conversation.
It's a circus.
That's not a good situation. It's not. It's too bad. You know, it's one of the great hockey markets, great history. And they deserve better. It has been a little bit of a revolving door in terms of coaches. They have not really found that coach that they love and have stuck with, you know, for 7 years there in Boston. There's been a little bit of turnover there. They've had a good team. They've contended for the Stanley Cup, but they are on the down. They're slipping. We don't know what's going to happen with Bergeron. You know, Marchand is another year older, and now your best player is making some noise. He's unhappy. You know, your goaltending. I don't know if you're exactly thrilled going forward too with your goaltending situation.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Swayman at times looked really good, but he's not been Tuukka Rask. And let's face it, Tuukka Rask was the answer for them when they won the Stanley Cup, and they made a nice deep run. They had a nice 1-2 punch back then. Most teams, I think, since then have gone the 1A, 1B mold. I don't know. Linus Ullmark is not the guy. I saw him be not the guy in Buffalo. The Bruins tried to make him the guy again. On a better team, he's a better goalie. That's to be expected, but he's still not the guy. And the other thing, too, for Boston is you have some big questions coming up as far as signing deals and contract. And, I mean, a lot of teams are facing cap questions, but for Boston, the next couple of years are going to be critical. As you mentioned, Pasta's not that far away. So to loop this back to Edmonton, you don't want McDavid and Draisaitl having right. that sort of rumbling of, are they going to trade him? Do they want out? But I guarantee you that starts this summer. I guarantee it, that because the question has to be asked, how long, and does Connor McDavid come away from getting shellacked 4-0 by the Avalanche feeling like this is a team that is still that close? Now, look, yeah, conference final. You got swept in the conference final, but still conference final, one of the last two standing in the West. Is that enough? Do you feel good enough about that? Honestly, if I'm McDavid, I do not feel good enough about where the Oilers are. The Avalanche showed them where the bar is. I don't think they're near it.
No, they're not. And I don't know him well enough if he starts making noise, but you don't get to be among the best in the league, if not the best, by not being super, super competitive. You have to have that in you in order to drive you to be the best in the game. And when you have that kind of a drive, Tom, you want to win. You want to win. And I would imagine he's a smart guy, smart hockey player. That's the thing. You know, we can sit here and talk about what a team looks like, their potential. But you know, when you go in the lock, those players know. Whether or not they speak about it honestly, whether or not they talk publicly to people, but they know how good they are, and they know how close they are, and they know what's needed. And so McDavid's the only one who can answer that. He, I'm telling you, Tom, is as true as I can say this, he knows how close that team is or far apart from winning a Stanley Cup, and that'll sway his decision.
Mike, just to wrap it up, this last question for you. I know that we know the Rangers Lightning is going at least six, could go seven. Colorado's already through. Based on what we've seen on teams that have swept their way through to the next series, is that a detriment or is it helpful or does it make no difference?
Maybe they're due, but the stats have said that if you go seven and the other team has swept, then the team that wins seven gets that first game. Now, obviously, that could certainly change any time. Maybe it's due for it to happen. But, one thing that we do know, whoever comes out of the East, they are better, way better than anything that Colorado has seen so far. Nashville was horrible. Edmonton was terrible. St. Louis wasn't great. They have not seen a goalie yet like they're going to see in the finals, which, you know, they just haven't. You know, Nashville had their number two. Mike Smith was a joke. And, you know, and St. Louis had to switch goaltenders in their series. Now their question is going to be who's going to be their goalie in the finals. I mean, Kemper was on the bench for game four. I thought maybe, you know, that eye injury, that was it, but he was on the bench. So do you come back with him then? Has he got enough time to rest and come back? What do you do there in goal? But the only thing I'll say is, Tom, they are going to play a team much better than they've already seen. Not that they can't win, of course. They're a great team. But they will see a goaltender like they've never seen yet in the playoffs, and they'll see a much better team than they've faced. They're certainly capable of winning it all.
Well, it's going to be an interesting question, that's for sure. But you're right, Mike. The stats don't look good. And here's the other thing. If it is Tampa Bay that gets through, Tampa Bay's already had their rest. They had that coming off the last series with Florida. Yeah. So, you know, that's, I think, another factor. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it all goes. And you know what? It's going to be fun. It's been entertaining so far. And Game 5 coming up here in New York is going to be a good one. So,
yeah. I think that, you know what, can the Rangers, they must have won at least seven in a row because they were down 3-1 in that series to Pittsburgh, right? So they've won at least seven in a row at home. So can they keep that up? Is Madison Square Garden just too difficult a place for teams to come in and win? Or is Tampa Bay now just rolling? Have they got their confidence back? And I don't know. I'll go out on a limb here. You think whoever wins game five wins the series?
I don't think that's much of a limb. Okay, here's the thing. The Rangers, though, will have to take two of the next three against a very tough Tampa Bay team. Man, yep. That is a tough one. Now that you put it that way, I'm like, whew.
But they have proved, they proved already they can win game sevens.
Yes.
At home or on the road. And
yes.
On the road. And their game seven will be at home. So they have won two game sevens already. That's the thing that if I'm Colorado, I'm going, come on, Rangers, win this thing. Because that's they played 21 games. If they go seven, that's asking a lot for a young team.
Yeah.
Then I think you don't want to face Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
In the Stanley Cup Finals.
Mike, if I'm counting this right, by the way, the Rangers only at home loss was game one triple overtime to Pittsburgh in the first round.
Okay.
So
they won eight in a row at home.
Yeah.
Wow. And took a lot to lose game the other one. So yeah. That's they've lost only one game at home. Ooh, wee. They'll see what Tampa Bay can do here.
Could be our most exciting game of the season so far.
Yeah, it will be. It will be the most exciting game.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for the podcast, everybody. We appreciate you being here. If you like what you hear, like, follow, and subscribe. Don't forget, Mike and I are live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We're also live on Twitter. We love to have you chipping in, and we appreciate you being here. Thanks, and we will talk to you next time.